Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband. There's so many things, but obviously the voicemails have become ridiculously long, so I'm going to try to do the one subject idea. Because one of my concerns, you know, the fundamental about communicating between people is, you know, you need to be open and honest and be willing to communicate. And we have so many examples of that. We had the example, with COVID stuff. And what you do is when you start getting caught in the lie, you have to distract and go to something else because so many people get caught in the lie on the COVID fiasco. And so we need to turn the focus to something else. And right now the focus is Ukraine. And I found out a few more things. You know, I suggested yesterday that the one lady is as it's popularly termed, a crisis actor. And apparently there's more information. She is. She was at the hospital. They showed the quick little clip of her. Looked like she was injured and so forth when the Russians did indeed bomb the hospital. But of course, again, the Russians told both the Ukrainians and the U.S., we're going to bomb this hospital, evacuate everybody. And there's reasonable indication that there were few to no injuries and perhaps nobody died unless they were sacrificed. I'm not sure on that at this point. Because it was a building that was being used for, it was taken over by the... I believe it was the Azov Brigade. There's the other one, the whatever it's called. Also begins with an A. I forget the name. Which is part of the Ukrainian government. But anyway, so... And that image was used and presented by Zelensky to the U.S. Congress in order to say, help us, please. I'm going to lie to you to help us. And what I find fascinating is, you know, what they do is there's been efforts to shut down RT and Sputnik or Sputnik because obviously they're controlled by the Russian government, and therefore in order to make Russia bad, you have to make sure that none of what they say comes out, because it's the same reason you shut down WikiLeaks. It's the exact same reason. You know, but there was a gentleman who worked for, I assume still works for, a TV network in Ukraine. His name is Fakhruddin Sharamal. Don't use me again as a reference for pronunciation. The implication was that a friend of his was killed, and therefore it enhanced the emotional impact on him, and he expressed things on his TV program that were, you might consider, offensive. And because I found several articles, I've downloaded them and of course I mentioned the video yesterday, and which I do have. And so no one's denying that it was true. It was what he said was true. Some people said, "Oh, this was said actually years ago." Whatnot? No, the evidence is quite clear. He said this in the last day or two, and I allow myself to quote Adolf Eichmann, who said that in order to destroy a nation, you must destroy first all of its first of all its children. Because if you kill their parents, their children will grow up and take revenge. By killing children, they will never grow up, and the nation will disappear. He said this while a photo of Eichmann appeared on the screen. There's an allegation, and I don't know the veracity of this, is that photo was added in by post by others showing this. And of course, the implication here is that they put it in. So that part, I don't know what is true at this point. But... it says, while the Geneva Convention prohibited Ukrainian soldiers from killing children, Sharamal continued, he is not bound by it. And then the quote, and when I get the chance to take out Russians, I will definitely do it. Since you call me a Nazi, I adhere to the doctrine of Adolf Eichmann and will do everything in my power to ensure that if you and your children never live on this earth. So you might consider that provocative. And obviously, there are a couple of factors. One, indeed, we do have to consider the emotions behind somebody who had just lost a friend. That I can understand. I can respect that. But obviously, he's versed on the understanding of Eichmann and the philosophy. So it's not something coming out of the blue, and he prepared for this out of emotions. He understands this stuff. He's familiar with Eichmann because, again, a whole bunch of the people in Ukraine are the neo-Nazis. And there's a strong indication, considering the degree he knows about this stuff, he's one of them. What I find important is there is a desire. I think you'll find that the U.S. news media probably won't cover this at all. I found an article on on a socialist site, which I found fascinating, one on I think it was Ukrainian or pretty close to them. And they said, well, you know, the emotion stuff, and they gave the implication that the Eichmann image that is seen in the video was, again, added afterwards. So that I don't know the veracity of which is true. Because I can see somebody adding the image in order to give strength to the accusation. And I can also see where it was used, again, because of the fact he knew who he was, because it is a you know, this is not a guy with his cell phone doing it. This is a guy in a TV studio doing this stuff. So he has a number of people behind him. There was another, apparently, from the other video I saw, that it is the moments before. There's another woman sitting next to him, another presenter. And, of course, the camera at this time was focused only on him. But so he wasn't alone in the room. And obviously there were people behind the camera, or, you know, at least technical people. So the possibility of the photo added in live when it was broadcast is a possibility. And again, it could have been, because obviously what I also have is where the English translation was put in. I've seen no one say that it's a bad translation. You know, because obviously there have been cases where somebody would say one thing and what the translator says is completely different. But there's no suggestion of that from both pro and anti sites that there's a translation error. So the only issue is whether or not he was driven only by emotion, and whether or not the Eichmann image was added. So, but he said it. That's agreed upon. And then there's that philosophy. And what I find fascinating is, we're looking at, you might say, a microcosm, you know, a large, you know, country of many, many millions of people, but a microcosm of the world, where they say we need to go kill other children because we don't want them to reproduce. We don't want the next generation to come across, to attack our next generation. That's been mentioned before. Thomas Malthus, 1800s or 1700s, whenever he was. Another guy, John, oh, Kozlowski, me. Because this is exactly what COVID-19 is all about. Because remember, I said over 2 years ago now, the primary purposes is money, power, eugenics. And I did say, in reality, eugenics can be expanded to genocide. Genocide is simply, basically, an aggressive form of eugenics. And I will stand on that. You know, because, again, COVID-19 didn't start, you know, 2 years ago. It started actually many years before that. But you know, again, the whole thing was documented, played out, what they call it, Event 201, where the whole thing was played out. This is what we plan to do. And then it happened. Kind of like, how did that work? And, you know, including the panics and the various things. It was a stage play that was executed remarkably well. And of course, then you had we need to get around the laws that we have in place about vaccines. And of course, what we have is you know, the term gene therapy is used instead of vaccine, because it isn't a vaccine in the traditional sense, where you given a milder version of a particular infection, and your body builds the natural immunity to that. This is actually changing your body. It's called gene therapy because it changes you, physically changes you. This is the messenger RNA idea, which goes in and physically changes you. The argument, it doesn't change your DNA. Well, yes and no, because it changes enough of your body to do things like, predominantly weaken your immune system, cause the microclots, and apparently the myocarditis is an extremely large factor too. But there's this, we need to protect the elderly kind of idea. But now that we had that in place, let's make sure others are vaccinated, so we get, the middle-aged people. And then, of course, we do find that the death rate went up significantly, as pointed out by numerous insurance companies, because suddenly they're dying too fast, and it's impacting our bottom line, significantly. But then the objective was to get into the young. Why do you want to get into the young? Well, the obvious thing you see is with the myocarditis, which apparently is the idea of an athlete dying on in a sporting events was a rarity, once every several years somewhere in the world. Now it's happening literally hundreds of times every year in the last year. Well over 100 times in the last year, where a young athlete will die based on myocarditis and adrenaline. Apparently, you put the two of them together and you're dead, which has been happening a lot. So there are those issues that you are putting into people. It's just like the simple thing of giving people refined sugar or even more corn syrup, because it makes you lethargic. And if you want to destroy your enemy, you kind of just weaken them. And it's well argued. This is the whole point of, getting rid of the high fat diet, which I have been living now for many years. I eat a lot of fat, and it's not the polyunsaturated, because again, it is the natural saturated fats. I eat a lot of butter. Butter and coconut oil are my preferences, and I eat a lot of it. And of course, high fat beef, because if you don't have that, you need something to make your food palatable, and which you use is a sweetener, refined sugar, or corn syrup. As I suggest, I think it's been suggested by others, the whole new Coke thing was in order to get the regular Coke off the market for a while, so when it came back, it could, instead of using the more expensive and less troublesome refined sugar, move to corn syrup. And so if you separate it from the taste, and the taste is only marginally different between the corn syrup versus sugar, and you've had several months at least of not having it, you may not be able to tell the difference. And there's strong evidence that or at least suggestion that was the purpose of that whole fiasco, however many years ago that was. You do things in order to, people do read Sun Tzu, The Art of War, from 3,000 years ago, whatever it was, that he wrote that, because a lot of it is the idea of what you do to weaken your enemy. And we see this happening. And then, of course, with the vaccines, you know, the alleged vaccines, and getting people to want it. As I've pointed out so often, you want to kill a lot of people, you have to give them a reason to want to die. And it's not that I want to die, but I want to be part of the group that is being protected from this dreaded disease. And if some people die because of the vaccine, well, it's the dreaded disease that's getting them. That's, you know, what's going in the mind, which is completely untrue. And so the death rate from the vaccines is just phenomenal. And you're hitting the young. And also, as I've pointed out before, apparently one of the places that the vaccine does tend to, it tends to accumulate in the lungs, the heart, and the reproductive organs, especially in women, in the uterus. And so it's, it, you know, again, there was the one study I pointed to. It was a fairly small study. I think it was only like 100 or so women who got the vaccine who were pregnant. And all of the babies died. Not a large percentage, all of them. So, you know, is there a correlation? Sure does suggest it, doesn't it? So if there is indeed a way to make you lethargic, again, the microclots things, it makes you fatigued, which will mean you're, you know, just like what sugar does, means you're a little bit more lethargic. And it does indeed shorten your life, especially because, it, you know, again, the way to kill a lot of people is not with a single thing, like a bullet to the head. Well, you can say, oh, stop putting bullets in the head and you stop the deaths. But you give them a number of things. And so a variety of things. And then when people are dying in large numbers, it's kind of like, what's the single cause? Well, it's not a single cause because you've impacted a whole lot of things. And, you know, so the microclots will simply add to the fatiguing of the body, which, you know, again, one of the things that has been well demonstrated, as I pointed out before, because people are spending so much more time indoors instead of being outside, and they're stuck in front of screens and whatnot because of the lockdowns and because of just the change in culture. We're not outside. We're not getting sunlight. And therefore, you don't get, your body doesn't generate the vitamin D because it requires the sunlight. And one of the top two or top three comorbidities of people who are dying allegedly from a flu-related illness, the lack of vitamin D. So, you know, it's just another factor. And when you add all these factors together, you increase the death rate. And we've seen that happen because of the vaccines. So, you know, if you want to do something, as Eichmann stated almost 100 years ago, and as this one gentleman, I won't try to repeat his name again, stated a day or two ago, you get rid of the children. It's happening in the U.S. It's happening around the world. Is it happening to my kids? My grandkids? If you take the vaccine, you're playing Russian roulette. Good choice of terms, right? You're playing Russian roulette. Because you may bring on death early, or you've increased the odds of an earlier death. Let me put it that way. As I've pointed out, I did the video. You know, take the pre-vax, you take the D-dimer test. Because again, if you do the D-dimer test before and after taking the vaccine, especially if you do it to a child, and you see that you have a particular level before the test and after the test, if the level goes up and you're the parent, it's going to devastate you because it's permanent. You played Russian roulette with your child and lost. Those are big deals. It does seem that there are periods. One of the programs I listen to is called Our Interesting Times. It's based on a, I think it's a Chinese proverb, may you live in interesting times. The objective being is interesting times, meaning huge tragedies going on. It's a curse. The idea of may you live in interesting times is a curse. Because obviously what you want to live is a time of peace. You know, as I've pointed out, because no, it wasn't me that pointed out first. It's been pointed out by many. One of the most peaceful times in recorded history, or probably the most peaceful time in recorded history, is the book of Judges. Because you will see some events, but it covers a period of, I think, 300 years. Those events are fairly short-lived, and then there are long periods of peace. Why? Because there was no king. And everyone did who was right in their own eyes, which is in one context, is the idea of, I don't care, I am my own God, so I'm going to do evil, or I'm going to, as I best I understand God, I'm going to do the right thing, which is, I would contend, is actually what the Lord requires of us. As I've pointed out so many times, it's the idea of, if you don't live your belief, you're a coward. You are simply a coward. And the again, I recently used the Revelation 3, but you know, I wish you were either hot or cold, but you're lukewarm, and I'll spit you out. To Laodicea. Is it Laodicea? Anyway, Revelation 3. I will contend that what the Lord wants is a drive. I want to do the right thing. What I have reasoned through may be wrong, so I'm going to pursue what is wrong with vigor because I think it's the right thing, and be willing to be corrected. I've done it. I have pursued things that I wouldn't dare anymore because I've been corrected. But I pursued them with vigor. You know, the political stuff right now. I was wrong when I pursued some of the things I pursued monetarily. Definitely wrong. But I pursued them. And it's the discussion I've had years ago with Chris, but with, I think with others. If I'm sitting here and I'm not in motion, it's hard to correct my stuff. If I'm in motion, then I can be corrected. You're going down the road, and then you can a minor bit of effort can correct your course. If you're stopped, it's nothing. And I would suggest again, this idea is consistent with, you know, well, you know, again, the example of Peter. Peter was, yeah, I'm going to go for it. And often he was, oops, I was wrong. But you see Peter making mistake after mistake after mistake, being corrected by, externally corrected either by the Lord or, you know, the one example I used, Galatians 2, by Paul. And when he's corrected by, he repents. But still remains a flawed man. That's courage. And I want to set that model before my kids. Anyway, speaking of my kids, I did not receive any postcards today. So I'm encouraged by that. I did send a postcard to Erica Lee for her birthday, which is coming up. So I'm hoping it's timed right. I did not receive any response from her or the Tim Mills, the harmonic atheist. But I'm going to continue to pursue that one. I've made some significant progress on an aspect of Shofar Nexus so I can use it to widen my audience. I'll tell you about that hopefully even next week. Oh, that'd be great. I'm exhausted, Part of the reason to do this, again, is try to be an act of love, my fundamental drive, the Shofar Book Project. Part of the reason to do this is the drive to try to reconcile a family. Because when I get, you know, it's rather disgusting to have postcard, 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 and a DVD returned. This is in violation of man's law. It is the rules for thee and not for me attitude. This is spitting in the face of God. And I still want to reconcile. Because I'm in love with my wife. I'm in love with my kids. I want to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, not Santa Christ, who they're clearly being shown. I want to, you know, Zadok. Zadok, be a man, not a wimp. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. They don't have a single model of that I'm aware of. Because what seems to be around them are a whole bunch of cowards who violate man's law and simply ignore God's law. And I'm going to try to reconcile with at least one, punch through that hole, and Lord willing, in the Lord's mercy, at least one in my family will have a relationship with me restored. And we can celebrate God's grace and together pursue obedience to Him, which is seen in love. I open the door to anyone, including those outside of my family, to mutually pursue love. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, I am your husband. I love you, and I want you back.